Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, they call me Pook. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up be a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked, where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
Welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. In the dark nights of an urban city sat a police squad car with its blue and red lights flashing, yellow tape sprung from one end of a crime scene to the next. Suddenly came an ancient Egyptian carrying the remains of a battered and bruised young man from the urban ghetto. When he approached the officer asked him, "Who is that and who are you carrying? Are you tired? Is he heavy?" The ancient Egyptian replied, "He ain't heavy. He's my brother." It's been said that the last person that you want to trust enough to give a loan to fool around with, talking about going into business with, or sharing sensitive tasks, or entrusting important or valuable business with, is a family member, your brother or your sister. The notion is that because family members are too close and they don't take you seriously, they will mess up your business dealings and cause you to lose. That you can't risk fooling with family and close friends. Tonight, we're going to talk about He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and you're live with another episode of Talk Straight. We're grateful that you join us, and I noticed that we have callers in queue already. Bear with us just a few minutes. We'll be right with you. We certainly want to hear what you have to say tonight. Facebook friends, the number to call here live is 657-383-0944. I want to thank all of you that have been following us and keeping up with us thus far. Again, that number is 657-383-0944. Let me just say that this is National Giving Tuesday. In other words, it's the time for nonprofits like Building Families and Communities, Missions Incorporated, the one that's responsible for this blog talk platform and radio show, and who needs your support to keep us alive. This is our opportunity to ask you for your support, and we'll be doing that tonight. I'm going to be sharing with you some of the 99 case studies that are part of our traveling lecture series designed to help save young men like that battered, bruised young man carried by the ancient Egyptian out of the darkness of an urban environment. Okay? We've been talking about it for a long time, and some people want some answers. They want some substantive answers. So we're going to provide you some of the case studies. In other words, these are real-life incidents that we looked at historically to help be a lesson and a guidance. In doctoral studies, there are three focuses of research and writing. And the first level is the breadth, which offers a historical context or explanation for a phenomenon or a condition, a circumstance, and the purpose of your study. Then there's the depth, where you look at what is actually going on at present, who's doing what. And then the last stage is where you focus on how can you add to it, make it better, or sustain it. Okay? So in just a few minutes, we're going to come and open up our phone lines. Again, that number is 657-383-0944. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host. Our topic tonight, again, is He Ain't Heavy. He's my brother. Genesis, the fourth chapter, in the ninth verse, reads in the King James Version, "And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel, thy brother? He said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" St. Luke 22, verse 31 through 33. 31 says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that you may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen, brethren." William Edward Burghardt Du Bois was an African-American sociologist, historian, civil rights activist. He was a Pan-Africanist, an author, writer, and editor. Du Bois was one of the co-founders of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, or the NAACP, in 1909. He spent a lifetime attempting to lift Negro people, who were the descendants of slaves, out of the swamps and the despair of the druggeries of slavery. He tried to educate some, Nashville, Tennessee, at Fisk University. He tried to motivate individuals and let them know that you have intellect and you have ability and drive. He tried to empower them to be self-sufficient and independent as a class of people in America. Despite his best efforts, however, his brothers and sisters are the ones who collectively, not all of them, but as a whole, became such a heavy weight on his neck in his efforts to use his education and all that he was blessed with, that he eventually left the United States and decided to denounce his citizenship in the U.S. and to pick up citizenship in Accra, Ghana, Africa, out of frustration. But interestingly enough, he was more frustrated with the inaction Negro, black, and colored people than he was with the so-called white man. So black folk that frustrated him more than white people, because he knew that they had it within them to do better. But somehow, all of his efforts seemed to have failed. Now, we're going to look at some case studies, as I mentioned earlier, that are historical and instructive. What we bring for you in our traveling seminar and lecture series focusing on African-American male frustrations and anger that we see in urban streets all over America is an understanding that will lead to proaction. You have to make the difference for yourself. Others can help, sure, but you've got to take the lead. All right, so we're going to share a few case studies, And you can get a copy of this. I'm going to talk about this at our next break. You can get a copy of this from our website, the work booklet itself, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more in detail on our next break. But we're giving you a few of these case studies, and throughout our conversation tonight, we want to encourage you to join us in dialogue as we discuss them, okay? All right. 1879, this is case study 9. Tens of thousands of Negroes began to migrate from southern states to northern states for better economic opportunities. They would find, unfortunately, that oppression existed both up north in America and in the south. On the plantation in the south, there was oppression, but guess what? They faced the same type of expression or oppression up north. In fact, some people blame Negroes for the failure of Reconstruction eras for the United States of America. Many disagree with that position, but nonetheless, the question was begged, how well did they do? We look at this in the context of where we are today. October 17th, 1913, this is case study 22. A gentleman by the name of Timothy Drew, known as Noble Drew R. Lee, founded a religious movement known as the Morris Signs Temple of America. They taught about the dual citizenship between North Africa and Morocco and America. He taught Negro and colored people that they had international support that was beyond the United States of America's government. All the struggle that they've been in, he taught them that you don't have to struggle because you have recognition from the continent of Africa from which you were taken as a slave. Let's think about it in the context of where we are today, okay? May 17th, 1954, this is case study 12. And the Supreme Court in the Brown versus Board of Education landmark case declared segregation in all public schools in the United States to be unconstitutional, nullifying the earlier judicial doctrine of the supreme or separate, excuse me, but equal. Now, Thurgood Marshall fought this case and won it and became a Supreme Court justice. But I wonder today if Thurgood Marshall would ask if his efforts were really successful in light of the fact that all over the country, the children that are doing the worst in public schools after the experiment of integration are African Americans, particularly African American males. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it. All right? March 1965, this is case study 58. The White House releases the Negro family, a case for national action, popularly known as the Moynihan Report. This was a scrounging report on how to empower Afro males to be sole providers for their women and children. Adversely, the recommendations made by Senator Patrick Daniel Moynihan were used to empower Afro females to be isolated and alone so that they can lead families through receiving public assistance and housing. Let's ask ourselves, is it heavy or is that my brother and sister? Is this too heavy for us to deal with? We're gonna open up the phone lines in just a minute so that we can talk about it, okay? 1970, realizing the failure of national legislation, the nonviolence movement, and the continuous promises of welfare to fulfill the needs of poor Afro-American people, despondent males began to form gangs. Actually, this began in 1959, but they were at the height by 1970. Largely, the construction of public housing, economically depressed neighborhoods, allowed gangs to consolidate their powers in African-American neighborhoods. In fact, in Chicago, a fellow by the name of Larry Hoover started the Gangster Disciples. And they started for security and economic purposes, so they stated. Jeff Fort started the El Rookins in Chicago as a religious group, but it had gang affiliations. A fellow by the name of Willie Lord started the Vice Lords as an economic and engine for neighborhood support within their groups there. Out west in California, Los Angeles, Stanley Tookie Williams started the Crips Gangs. And it was in response to this perceived need for self-protection against the government and the other people that would take come on their block and take what they had. Okay? Then on the other side of town, a fellow by the name of Raymond Washington started the Bloods out of the Pierce Housing Projects of Compton, California. They said they wanted to protect themselves from the Crips, specifically. While there are many other gangs that were major groups that became widespread, the latter are the ones that were of most notable widespread presence across the United States, and their different splinter affiliations accordingly. 1984, case study 77, a fellow by the name of Russell Simmons forms Def Jam Records in Harlem, New York. This genre of music, his contemporary producers produce would have long-lasting effect on the behavioral mentality of black boys in particular. And now young ladies want to be roughnecks too because of the nature of this music that Def Jam Records started. Well, it started as some hip-hop and but now it has evolved into current-day rap and some of the expressions you hear now in the music, which really has no substance to it at all, and it leads young people down a primrose path to destruction. Okay? 1994, there was a case study. This is case study 84. The United States Bureau of Justice reported that African-Americans were strangely represented among both violent crime offenders and victims. In fact, in 1993, African-American males made up 12% of the United States population and represented 58% of persons who were arrested for murder, 41% arrested for rape, 62% arrested for robbery, and 42% arrested for aggravated assault. These statistics reflect the reality in 1993 that African-American males face in terms of their struggles with the legal system. Now, we're talking about after they were set free from slavery. We're going to talk about it. These are real case studies that we really want to look at and see how we can grow from them. All right? April 6, 2003. This is case study 90. According to a report of the United States Department of Justice, and statistics again, prison and jail inmates in mid-year 2002, of African-American males born this year, 29% can expect to spend some time behind bars. One in 14 African-American children had a parent in jail or in prison. One in 20 African-American men is incarcerated compared to one in 155 white men. For every three African-American men in college, four are in prison. This information represents the serious socioeconomic challenges confronting this present generation of African-American youth in 2017. Lastly, May 2013, just around the corner, case study 102. A report released by the Bureau of Justice and Statistics reveals that approximately 8,000, and in certain years as many as 9,000, African Americans are murdered annually in the United States of America. This chilling fact is accompanied by another equally chilling statistics. 93% of these murders are committed by an African American against an African American. The analysis supported by the Federal Bureau of Investigation records finds that 2005, for example, blacks or African Americans accounted for nearly 50% of all homicides in the United States of America. Unfortunately, this number has continued. Here we are in 2017. We are about to go in 2018, people. Question is, what are the answers and what do we do? My God, we got a lot of folk online tonight. Let me open up these phone lines because I want to hear from you. We have Pastor Ricky Waller, our regular panelist, who is in the hearing of holding. Let me just take callers. If you have any conversation going on in the background, we can hear you on air. If you could kind of move this up a bit in the activity. All right. Pastor Waller, how you doing, sir?
I'm good, sir. How you doing, Dr.
Mighty fine. Somebody is talking there. Welcome to All righty, we can hear your conversation here. Let me go ahead and open up the phone lines, everyone. Let's start with, I'm going to call your first three digits of your phone number, then the last four digits to identify you. Let's start with 678-0405. How you doing? Caller?
I'm good, Pastor. I'm good.
Okay, great. Any comment?
Not right now, Pastor. This Sister Nicole.
Okay, got you. 413-0230. How are you tonight? Welcome to Talk Straight.
Good evening. How you doing?
Mighty
My
fine,
name is Patrick.
Thank you for joining us. Any comment or response to our dialogue, a monologue?
Not right now.
Okay.
But definitely I will.
Okay, great. Thank you for being here. 804-4306, welcome to Talk Straight. You're on live. Any question or comment about our monologue?
Thank you for having me. Yes, this is Dawn from Richmond, Virginia.
All right.
A couple of comments. Yes.
Okay.
Sister Nicole invited a few
Wonderful.
Of us in, so I thank her for having, you know, giving us this information.
Okay.
Yes, I feel like from the beginning, I do believe as a woman, as a strong black woman, I do believe that the women's rights movement was one of, you know, even though it empowered women, that was one of the movements that actually broke a lot of black homes up more than any other attacks to the black, you know, population. I think that, you know, women being the backbone of the household, that I think if it had stayed that way, a lot more would have been taken care of, actually, you know, in the household.
Okay. Sure.
So that's one of my thoughts right there.
Okay.
My second thought. Yes, sir.
Go ahead, right quick, and then we'll get to our next call.
My second thought was about the statistics that show about the amount of black men being incarcerated. I think they are definitely is not a reality. And the other statistic about the 8,000 and 9,000 ones that have been murdered by another black man, I think that's also not reality, and the statistics are wrong there, because more than half of those murders have not even been solved for anybody to even have statistics on them. So if you got statistics, then where are the people that's being locked up for these murders? Where's the action behind that? To have all these statistics, you have all these murders and no solved cases here.
Okay, so is it fair to say you want a little bit more explanation on how they came about that data?
Well, definitely I would like more information,
okay.
But
okay.
I would like
right.
accurate information, not just more information.
Yeah. Okay.
I can,
all right.
of course.
Don, Don, you're in the right place, darling. I sure appreciate you, Don. I sure appreciate you. All right, hold right there, Don. Let me get my stream of other callers in. And then, Pastor Wally, you know, you at home. Just jump right on in where you fit in, man.
Yeah.
I'm looking at 615-5157. Welcome to Talk Straight.
How's it going, man? My name is Dexter White.
I'm good. How are you, sir?
Doing fine, sir. Just a young black African-American. My mom invited me on to this show.
Okay. Well, thank you for coming, man. I appreciate it.
Yes,
did you hear our monologue? And any question or comments about that? We thank Don for offering
Before I ask any questions or have any comments, I want to find more, learn about what's going on and try to listen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. His brother stood up. Okay. All right. So it looks like we have not everybody. Pastor Wallace? Are you there?
Yes, sir.
He might be with the baby tonight. He sounds like he got the baby.
Okay. Pastor Wallace, I can't hear you too well. Give me your phone if you don't mind.
Can you hear me?
Okay, a little bit better.
Yeah, okay.
You want to weigh in right quickly? I'm going to go ahead and respond to Don and kind of open up the dialogue.
Always, man. Yeah,
go
I
ahead.
Appreciate everyone that's tuned in, you know, number one.
Yes.
And some of the things that you were talking about, man, I mean, it's very interesting because it all surrounded by the trap, man. I mean, it is a trap. It's been set there, planned, and well put together to make sure you assist. When you see something that's working and it's causing affliction and it's causing harm, and, you know, it's a lot of money that's being made by it, whether it's been a death, whether it's sending one into prison, whether it's corrupting the community, it always starts. You know, it doesn't have a end from the start. It starts from the start, and you go through, and then you see the results of it. Now, I know one was speaking about the murder rate, and they're talking about statistics on it. Whether it be that they found out and put it on the news, and whether they're looking for someone, or whether they're in a rush to find them or not, that's not the case. It's that they want to see more murders take place, whether they find them or not. It's not so much that they want to find them. And so it's very interesting. And I think the whole concept of the monologue and for the people who are tuned in to be able to express themselves and everything. But the main thing is, it's not the truth. It's what's going on, you know. Is there a solution to the problem? Because
okay.
The main thing, it is
that's
a problem,
right.
And
right.
we need a solution for it.
That's absolutely.
Just,
that's
just,
the bottom
just
line.
What's going on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Now let me just, Don, thank you so much for sharing. So, Don, the data that I presented was taken from the Federal Bureau of Investigation, okay? And where they get that from, just last night, a young man was shot and killed on a Metro Transit bus here in Nashville, Tennessee, okay? Every time an incident like that happened, there's a police report taken. The police report is, by law, documented and stored and passed on to the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation. They pass it on to the Federal Bureau of Investigation. This is where this data comes from in terms of the homicides that are committed nationally. That number was the 8,000 or 9,000 was a national number. That was not all African Americans, but half of that number involved black males. And it was a black male, according to the report, that committed the offense. That doesn't sound good, Don. I'm with you on that. I don't like it. It turns my stomach. Because when I was growing up in the streets of Chicago, I was one of those statistics that they were talking about, likely will go to jail before I went to college or anywhere else. You understand what I'm saying? And
yes,
another
sir.
Point that you made was very true, and that is when individuals, in fact, there's a woman in Congress right now in D.C., who pushed for women's rights. And I agree with you. What it did was break down the relationship and communication with men and women of the Afro-American subculture and made it difficult for them to work together. You may have heard me read about Patrick Danjic Moynihan's report in 1965. What he was saying is, rather than split the family by empowering black women, empower the black man to be ahead of his household, to take care of his family, and to get on his feet, and show him how to not only have a job, but to have his own business. Well, it's more money in keeping the black family tore up and separated to be made than there are bringing them together. We hear that in the sexualization and the gangsterizing of rap music and things of that nature. People can't see the forest for the trees. Anyone want to comment on that?
Yes, Pastor, you got that so right. I can see that because some of the systems, such as DCS, Department of Children's Services, and stuff like that, they're going to split them kids up to keep them together. They say they want to see families together, but I don't believe that because that's how they make their money.
Okay.
And I believe half of the population of some of these systems is used to make money, such as the jail system. And we can get some of these brothers together, it won't be too many jail systems, but they building up more. So that's why they got all this music going, because this music is brainwashing these boys to go out here and kill and steal and do drugs and do some of everything.
Okay. I think 6171 was trying to say something.
Yes, sir.
Were you trying to weigh in, 6171? Okay, I don't know if he can hear me. Don, you still with me?
I am.
Okay. Any comments or feedback on the explanation that I offer? I'm not asking, Don. I don't assume that anyone has to agree with me. But again, the purpose of sharing the information is so we can look at it. I've looked at over the last 15 years and kind of put this lecture and seminar series together for the sake of educating our people. But I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I am deep into it. I am myself a mother of four sons. I was blessed enough to have four sons that didn't, go towards the streets. I have one that's in the Air Force. Two of them went to college. And I have one that's still going through school now. I had no problems, no jails, no babies, no drugs with them.
Okay.
So I was so blessed, but I see it, and as me growing up, I've seen it all around me. Just last night here in Richmond, Virginia, there was a 14-year-old who was shot down by an off-duty police officer.
Oh, wow.
They were meeting up supposedly for the police officer to buy a game system from this 14-year-old guy, this 14-year-old young man, and somehow, supposedly, that the young man had a gun, so the man shot him. I feel as a parent, like, why is your child out at 12:30 at night? Him as an adult, why would he meet a young 14-year-old male at 12:30 at night without a parent being present? And now the child is dead, shot dead and shot.
That is a great point to pick in. Because there's a responsibility on our part as parents to keep our children safe and to have a good idea of where they are. I know, Don, I was a little hard-headed, and we lived in the housing projects of Chicago, and my mama tried hard to keep it straight. And sometimes I would literally climb out the window to get away from the order and the discipline she had. You know what I mean? I'm going to tell on myself now. The truth is good for the soul. But the truth of the matter is that you should have some reasonable idea where your children are. And that's a breakdown, again, within the Afro-American subculture in terms of the no snitch rule. We ain't going to snitch now. We know we're wrong,
but we ain't going to tell on one another. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm not going to try to correct you either, because I ain't supposed to say nothing to you. It's almost as if I'm supposed to just watch you fall in the pit hole.
Oh,
and then
we
want to come together and crap when it happens.
You know the tree rules. You know the tree rules, but, you know, something has to change. It has to come to an end. You know, people said it's getting too close to home. No, it's in our homes now. What more do you want to happen for it to be you, for it to be yours? I mean, it's even happening to parents and children now. Parents, you know, parents killing their children, the children killing parents. And if you look at the news station here on Thanksgiving Day, a pastor shot and killed his wife, her daughter, and his wife's boyfriend.
Wow. Wow.
It's amazing what's going on. It's amazing what's going on.
I saw that story. Wow. Whew. We got work to do, though.
Yes,
God got some work to do. God got some work to do. Because if we got to do it, we lost. We in trouble.
Oh, who is that, Don?
Yes.
Don, is that you talking? Or is that you, Nicole?
Yes.
No, that was
God. So was that you that said God got to do it?
Yeah.
No, that was God.
Okay, hold on, Nicole. Don, I hear you. You said God got to do it, Don? All right, hold on 1 second.
Yeah, God got to do it.
Oh, yeah. All right, hold on, Don. Stay with me, okay? Pastor Waller, what were you going to say, my brother?
Yeah, I mean, I like her participation. You know, she couldn't. You know, do something otherwise. She's raising her kids, and she's done well, and she wants to chime in, man. I mean, that's a plus to me, is to know she has a great concern. And as I said from the beginning, you know, there is a solution. As long as we tap into the problem and we keep on attending to the problem, when there is a solution and we won't tap into the solution will never work until we tap into it.
True.
And so, you know, the problem is that there's a power that's in those places, man, that you got to take, but refuse to go out into the streets and send it to these people, man. These people are crying out for help. When you have someone you can cry with a gun in your hand shooting each other down, they're just crying.
Right.
Whatever they're doing, they're crying out for help. And if nobody is listening to the cry, you know, and not participating in going to make the difference, then it will continue. But let's just say, for instance, you know, this is the day that the Lord has made. Put it together for us, okay? And they say, let us be glad and rejoice in it and things like that. I mean, that's a satisfying thing. It sounds real good. But what's wrong with taking what he says about go out into the world and preach the gospel to creatures? What's wrong with that? You know,
nothing's wrong with that.
Okay, so if we took the time out to do that, you would never know to put it in motion. And that's where I believe the solution is. And the only reason why I'm saying that is because there was a man that came out of the church, man. He was the pastor, the overseer of the church. He was responsible for feeding the people. I think the message the other day, we were talking about what Jesus did. Saying about how he went through citizens and teaching in the synagogue and healing any kind of sickness and disease that was among the people. But the Bible says that when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they were fainted like sheep having no shepherd, meaning that they needed somebody to listen to them. They was crying out. They were scattered, man, meaning that they're everywhere, all over the city. She's talking about in Virginia. You're talking about in Nashville, it's happening in Chicago and different places. That means that there's something missing. And it's the solution.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is a solution that's missing. And there is one. You know,
absolutely.
God is too good for
that. Let me do this.
Solution, man.
I know for one, I'm going to say, too, you have to be able to be delivered from that curse in order to see what's going on. It's a curse. You know what I'm saying? And somebody got to be able to be delivered in order for it to move forward and be able to go forward to help anybody or do anything. You know what I'm saying?
Nicole,
because that thing is so strong. Yes, sir.
Right. Nicole, you're right that it's a curse. And Malachi, the 4th chapter, 6th verse, tell us where the curse came from. The writer says that unless he turned the hearts of the fathers back to the hearts of their children, that he's going to smite the earth with a curse. And certainly the African-American community and family has been smitten with that curse because fathers are absent. Now, why they're absent, we can talk about that, but the fact is that they're absent. And as Dawn brought out beautifully, mothers are struggling, trying to pull the pieces together by themselves. And it was never intended that way. But the word of God is clear. It's clear what we got to do. I want to say, Don, that the truth of the matter is God has given us the tools to maintain ourselves and to be a witness of God's grace and his mercy. If we don't use them, Don, it's over. Now, sometimes, and I've been pastoring for 21 years, Don, but sometimes people want to clap their hands together, get on their knees, close their eyes, and they don't want to put no work in.
Come
but
on,
Pastor. I heard that a sleeper ain't going to catch nothing but a dream.
But
I wish I had a whisper.
That's what he got coming.
That's all he got coming. That's all he got coming.
That's right.
Well, let me... one second, Pastor Waller. 413 0230. Any comments right now before we go to a break here? Are you there with us, 0230?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, any comments before we go to a break?
I mean, the breakdown of the black community has been in existence since day one. And now people saying turn the other cheek and we've got to do better, but talk is cheap. We've got to go out there and do better and reach the kids. And we can't wait till they're necessarily in jail. We've got to catch them before that.
Amen.
Right.
Have access to them before they go to jail.
Amen.
Not that those in jail can't be rehabilitated, but it's that much harder.
That is a powerful point, man. And that's really where it is, Colin, that rather than sitting back and waiting on reaction, if you're proactive, you can prevent some of this stuff from happening. You know what I mean?
There you go.
And that's really what we have to look at. How can we be proactive and not only intervene, but to come in before the thing happens? All right, great point.
Yeah.
Let me look like we lost 6771. Hopefully he'll join us back again. Let me do this, people. Let me go to a brief break and describe what we're doing with the traveling lecture and series. You can go to my website, www.gfcinstitute.com, and in the back store you can help us get this message to 13 cities across urban America. The booklet that I'm reading from, these case studies, is in this back store. And if you make a contribution of $20, you can get that book. With another $5, you can get the booklet and the pen. There are other things that you can get there. I'm happy to announce that Pastor Ricky Waller, who's our regular panelist, he's an author of a very powerful book with the story Redemption from Drug Dealing and Drug Use. And I think it's really meaningful for young men in particular. His book is on our webpage there, and it's a $15 contribution. He's going to make a contribution to our cause to help us stay alive and keep going. We want to come to Richmond if it's possible, or wherever you are across America, and we have these same issues. Because as the brother said, it's about doing something. And it's about being about doing it. I've been doing this now for the last 15 years in Nashville, and we're looking to move with our model, our documented research-based model, to other places. This is Giving Tuesday nationally, and your contributions are 100% tax deductible. When you click on the Donate tab, it will show you how to get your paperwork and so forth and the evidence of our nonprofit status with the Internal Revenue Service. But having said that, we certainly want to encourage you to support us. If you're listening from Facebook, any other means, from the Blog Talk platform, please make a contribution. I'm not saying give $5,000. If you got it, give it. But $5, $10, $30, help us. Our goal is $30,000 so that we can make our next three cities, which include St. Louis, and we want to go to Miami, Florida, in the pork and beans areas, the housing projects there, as well as New Orleans in the Treme neighborhood where there's huge incidents of some of the things that we're talking about. But we certainly want you to support that cause. That's what we're here for. That's what we're here. I want to thank our callers for being on tonight and for your patience. I'm going to listen to this callers, and then I'm going to pose the question to the panel here tonight. And I want y'all to explain something to me like I'm 3 years old. Give me just a few seconds here, a few minutes. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Tonight we're talking from the topic, he ain't heavy, he's my brother. Now, we got some issues with our brothers and sisters. But, panel, sometimes my brothers and sisters have a notion, just like Bill Weather was talking about, you're walking down the street and you got this funny kind of communication going on with somebody else. Who is that cat and who is he to you? Why is it that we're always looking to go somewhere other than within ourselves to deal with the issue? Who is that cat, and who is he to you? Somebody talk to me tonight.
Well, this is Don talking. Who's that cat, and who is he to me? That cat is my brother.
Watch out, man. Watch out,
man. Or my sister. And they just need a hand up, you know.
All
not
right.
A hand out,
right.
Just a hand up. And I want to thank Sister Nicole. Sister Nicole has started this group thing. I don't have social media other than this one social media thing I used to use to keep in touch with my son when he was over in Japan. And that's how I met Sister Nicole. And she has become proactive. She has started this group thing to stop all these predators going into these little kids' rooms who don't belong on there. And, you know, we getting it started here thanks to Sister Nicole. So we getting proactive, I'm going to tell you.
Okay, all right. Well, bless you, Nicole.
Yes, Lord. Thank the Lord
Nicole,
for that.
Nicole, who is that cat? Nicole, who is that cat and who is he to you? Y'all looking kind of funny at each other. Who is that?
He's my brother. He's my sister. He's my kid. He's my everything.
Watch
but
this,
all the same
this.
Time, I got love for him, so I'm trying to help him come on up out of whatever he's going through.
Okay. Well, look, y'all stop all that googly-ass stuff because you're supposed to be walking with me now.
That's right.
Pastor Wally, any comment? Pastor Wally, any comment? You know,
yeah, about this man that's walking down the aisle, and who is it? Me. I want to tell you my name. King Heron. You know, that woman that I'm affiliated with for those 2+ years of my life that corrupted me and many other people, man. You know, I got to get down into the depth of what's really going on. Look, man, they call it the boy. They call it boy, but it's trying to destroy.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he is to me, is the enemy. You know, anytime you can take a smoker and then glorify it and say, where is the king hearing that? You know,
wow.
Who is he is to me? He's corrupting communities, man. And he's an enemy.
And so
I've dealt with that for most of my life, and it's not nothing really to glorify, as I once upon a time with you. And it tells me now it's still being glorified even more, man. So it's an enemy, man. I don't, and he's raging in our community. I'm going to say this right here. There's a song in the rap. I listen to it, you know. And it's called Self-Destruction. You know, say we're headed for self-destruction.
Self-destruction.
You know, it's one of these brothers, ignorant brothers, trying to rob and steal and kill from one another. You get caught in the midst. But to crush their spirit, we did. We got ourselves together so we can unite and fight for what's right. You know, not negative. You understand what I'm saying? Of course, what we're doing is positive. We don't kill our relatives. So how are we killing our relatives if there's not an enemy? So that's what's going on. He's causing us. He's not even around us, man. But yet still, he's pulling the string and watching us kill each other. Watching us rob and steal another. You see, so that's who that person is to me. He's not my brother. He's an enemy.
He's the enemy.
All right.
He's the enemy.
Yeah, I peeped him, man. I peeped him. I know his game.
That's right.
Yeah, and he's working through our brother. Yes, sir.
I'm gonna have to watch that cat. Have to watch
that. when it comes to think about it, yes, most definitely.
Yeah. Cause he kind of smooth with it too, ain't he?
Yeah, I'm still hot about it. How he beat me. I'm still hot about it. You know, he put it on me, man. He put it on me, man. I mean, showing up, putting on me.
You know, and let me say this, Pastor. You're so right. Let me say this, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes it's not easy for us to be honest because we've dibbled and dabbled in places we don't need. And we bring that mess back home to our families and our friends.
Yeah, come on, man.
And
then
we have to deal with it face on. We want to lie like it don't exist. But guess what? That's our stuff. Let's own it. Let's clean it up. And let's move forward. That's really what time it is. It's not time to say I feel indicted. Huh?
But let me ask you this. What about if we're 60 years old? What about if we're 60?
Uh-oh.
Can we still fix it up? Can we still get it right? Or we just got to stay this way?
No, Nicole,
and deal
you
with
asked
it.
Nicole, that's a man. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, Nicole. The Spirit of God did. Listen. This
okay,
is the now, Nicole, because here's what the problem is, Nicole. There are people who are 60, 70, 80 years old who say, when we bring these conversations up, you're throwing out at me because I know I missed an opportunity. All right? And sometimes they think they're going to be able to go back and correct their childhood. That's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But we can
use
your experience, and we can use what you've been through to let, like Don was saying, to keep some other, or the gentleman from 0030 was saying, to keep it from happening over and over again. See, that's how we break the cycle. If I got
that's
hit right. upside the head with a rock, the next time rock gets thrown, I got to tell y'all, duck, man, duck. Right?
That's right.
Sure enough.
I done been there and I done got it. So I have a story to tell, and it does you good to listen to my story because I done got hit upside the head with that rock. I'm not going to
you never too young or too old. You're never too young or too old.
You're
a baby
old
can teach me something. Yeah.
That's right. And to reach back and to teach others. 0230, were you trying to say something?
Well, I'm definitely in agreement with what you're talking about. And the kids nowadays, they think they know more than us grown folk who have been there, done that, lived that. Because I grew up, let me tell you a quick story. I actually came from England. I came from London, England when I was 12 years old. And I went to school in the Bronx. Came from England right to the Bronx. And I remember a teacher telling my mother, because it was only me and my mother in the household, and we had a meeting, and the teacher said, your son's going to be dead by the time he's 21.
Wow.
And I'm 14 years old. What could I be possibly doing for you to tell my mother that I'm going to be a statistic?
Ain't that deep, bro?
You know, so that ingrained me that I could never be a statistic.
I see. I see.
And why would this white teacher tell my mother that?
Yeah.
You know, I never understood that.
You know what, brother? You know what, brother? You and I share that in common, but it wasn't a white woman. It was a tall, brown-eyed, red-eyed black man who was a police officer who told me at 14 because he was mad I wouldn't snitch on a gang fight. Somebody went up there. I went snitch, and he told me, you're going to be dead. He had some more colorful words, though. You're going to be dead before you 16. I wish I could find him now, though. I wish I could talk to him today.
And he meant that.
Yeah, he meant that.
He meant that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he was angry at me.
Mm-hmm.
He was angry at me because I wouldn't give him what he was looking for. I understand it now. Mm-hmm. As an adult, as I look back, caller, I understand both sides of the dynamic. And this is really where we have to put our work, see. And we don't have time to argue. We don't have time to get caught up in religious differences and political differences. We got work to do, man, because our babies are dying.
Right.
That's
our
right.
Babies are dying.
And
I like what Don is saying. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I apologize.
And they're always saying, you know, like blacks and people of color, they're crabs in a barrel. And it's definitely true. They don't like to reach down and get in there and pull another one out because the one on the bottom is going to try to hold that brother from trying to get out.
That's right.
And we got to overcome that. We got to overcome that obstacle.
Absolutely. Can I tell you a secret about the barrel? That I discovered, the barrel is round, right? The barrel is round,
right?
And let's say you got 50 crabs in the barrel. Suppose all 50 of them shifted their weight all at once to one side. What's the likelihood of that barrel tipping over and everybody coming out of there alive?
We all get numb.
My God, my God. Ain't that good news? You know,
that's it.
Brother, I sure appreciate
like
you calling. Like,
that made me feel like you done fired me up now.
Go ahead,
That made me feel like that's that dream that Martin Luther King was talking about.
Watch out, Nicole. Watch out, Nicole.
Not that man-made dream that they wanted to give us. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Because men can make up a bunch of stuff, but you got to learn how to dig deep within and really come out with the real evidence. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's true. That's true. That's true. 615-5157, you there? Are you there? 5157? Okay, maybe they're just a welcome to the show. Feel free to join us anytime in the conversation. Pastor Waller.
Yes, sir.
I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you a question. And
all right.
I want you to help me with this and my understanding, okay? Because
all right.
Some people say you hate on a brother, right? don't hate on a brother. That ain't what I'm trying to do. I ain't trying to hate on a brother.
Okay.
Russell Simmons have made literally billions of dollars since he started Def Jam Records in 1984. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's been about 30-some years ago now, right? And I want to know, Pastor, is it reasonable for me or anyone else to ask Russell Simmons to take the money he's made off of encouraging the self-destruction of young people to support an effort like what you and I are doing with this traveling lecture series to redirect that and turn around all over America? Is that unreasonable?
No, it's not. That would be great, you know, but it takes number one, compassion. If there's no compassion within oneself, you know, there will not be any compassion for your neighbor. And I say that because of the power of darkness, for the love of money is the root of all kind of evil. Because I heard you saying the amount of money that one gets, you would think that you would have so much love for your community. And I don't know the brother you're talking about, but I just understood that you're talking about for many years.
He on that rap,
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, financially. Yeah, and you're talking about in the realm of self-destruction, I think that's what you said, if I'm not asking you that. Okay, now, self-destruction brings forth a lot of money, but it causes a lot of pain in many lives, you know,
that's right.
families
that's
right. and communities, and I can only imagine, you know, not being able to see that because the money can have you bound, and
yeah.
then, you know, the power of it, because when you have the love for the money, it does something too, unlike being ready to give. See, there's a form of, there's nothing wrong with being rich. The OJ said that just be rich through and through and don't get caught up in the spotlight. And please don't let money change you. You know,
really
what I'm trying to say, that's a real friend of mine that's doing good, real good, as a matter of fact. But he don't know me now, but I can take him way, 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 way back. So maybe
Come
he may have forgotten where he came from. You see, that's possibility because some do that. You know, a lot of people getting a lot of money in many areas, man. I mean, they don't know anything about what's going on in the inner cities and things like that. They just know they're loaded with money. And so, you know, they participate in other things that has nothing to do with the love and the compassion that it's going to take to reach back out in the community and say, look, I want to do something for this community. I want to take every athlete who's got wealth, everyone that's of our color, and go into every city in this world and extend an invitation to let me bless someone with this money that I have. Because
Come
I have
now.
More money now than I had in my life, you see. And if they came from that, they couldn't help but to have compassion. But if there's no compassion there, brother, believe me, they would not be able to apply that.
Sure.
That's just the way
sure.
it is. You've got to have compassion, man, because that's what it takes, you know. Compassion on the lost, man. There's a lot of lost people. Probably would love to see them people show up. You know?
Let me squeeze another break in here. Listeners, you're listening to 657-383-0944. And let me just take a minute to recognize our friends on Facebook who are tuning in with us. Valerie, thank you. Bless you for tuning in with us. And it looks like we got a few more folk here. Jonathan, Pops, Brother Prince, and Mr. Bryant, and Mr. Shelton, thank you guys for joining us tonight. Feel free to call us here. The number is 657-383-0944. We'd be happy to entertain your question, your comment, anything you may have to share with us. I want to go back again. This is Giving Tuesday. This is I'm not going to say I'm begging. I'm asking of our listening audience all over the world. Last time I checked, there were people that were tuning in from as far as Canada and from France. I don't care where you are. You can go online right now, www.bfcinstitute.com. BFC stands for Building Families and Communities, and that's what our research led us to. That's what our efforts are. We're looking to come to your city. If you know someone who want to sponsor the seminar and the workshop, I've already told Pastor Wall I know he's busy, but I'm going to need him to keep his bags packed by the door at least anyway so that he can join us there. And I've been telling different ones about our back store where you can support us. If you want to give a $25 contribution, you can. And you can get a combination of either a drawstring bag, a beautiful coffee mug, or a lapel pin, or you can get a cap in the mug, a cap in the pin, a cap in the drawstring bag. Also, there is, we did a show about our fatherhood education piece, where you can get the workbook and the accompanying CD. There, it's a $40 gift or donation. And, again, all of your contributions are 100% tax deductible. Building Families and Communities is registered with the Secretary of State of Tennessee, and we are also have our 501c3 status with the Internal Revenue for the United States, and so you can rely on your contributions. We thank you again for considering us, and just simply go to our webpage there, click the donation button, and it'll send you straight to our PayPal website. All right. And, again, we thank our callers for being on 0405, 0230, 4306,
and Pastor Waller, as well as 5157, who's been listening in with us. We're grateful for you joining us. And I want to hear a little bit from this brother right here, who Bobby Womack. He made a very good point, and then I want us to talk about what Bobby Womack is saying relative to caring a brother or sister. At what point do you let me not get ahead of myself. Let me go ahead and hear from Bobby a few seconds, then we'll come right back.
Everybody claims that they want the best things out of life. But not everyone wanna fall for the tall that's right. Like this particular fella walks around all day long singing.
Dr. Reuben Dockery, the topic, he ain't heavy, he's my brother. Don.
Yes, sir.
Me and my brother are in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. He can't swim a lick. I'm the only one that know how to swim. But out of fear, he kicks, he pulls, and he drags, and he almost drowned both of us. Do I let him drown, or what must I do to get him to safety?
I must calm him down, and I need to help.
He's hysterical,
him.
Don.
I need to help him.
Don, he's on liquor. He's full of liquor. He's full of dope, and he's got all kind of foolishness in his heart. He can't think straight. What do I do with him?
I'm going to hold on to my brother.
You're going to drown with him, huh?
You just going to
drown with him,
Don? I ain't drowning. No, I ain't drowning. We getting out of there. I ain't drowning with him. I ain't letting my brother go.
Okay. What about a 0-0-2-30? You gonna let him go, or you gonna? I mean, what's up, man?
The truth of the matter is, you can't save everybody, but you gotta try your damnedest to save your brother.
Wow.
And that's a fact.
Okay, I'm gonna give y'all an answer. Nicole, what about it? Nicole, you there? Pastor Waller, you
want to
give us a stab at it?
Man, listen. When you said that the man was full of everything up under the sun.
Yes, sir. I like
that part there. You know, that means that he's unconscious about reaching out for him. You see? And so since he's unconscious, he says, my assignment is that when there's a power that's working within you and you are convinced that you're going to go all the way, you're going to do all that you can do to help. That's what's going on right now. There's a lot of people in that situation right now, and I refuse to leave them hanging, man. In other words, I'm going to stand up for my brother. I'm going to do all that I can, that I'm assigned to do. So, you know, and that's just the way it is.
You
didn't give up on me, man.
All right, watch out.
I'm sorry, y'all. I had punched mute, listening and paying attention, but I said I would ask. That's one time I would have to ask God to walk on water and hope we make it out of there.
Let me tell y'all humbly what I submit the answer is. He's my brother, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Now, you can't put your hands on my brother,
But if I have to save his behind, I'll knock him clean out.
Yeah.
He's going to be mad when he wake up with that headache when we get to shore. But guess what? At least he'll be live or mad. Is that right?
Yes,
first
sir.
Time, got to snatch our brother
do,
up.
Brother.
Huh?
You know
what I'm going
to
say?
I do what I got to do.
When he asked me, Don, why you do that? I'm going to say I had to save you in the name of everything that is holy.
I know this one. Right. Yeah.
You went all the
and
way,
and you
bro.
Better say thank you. You better say thank you. I did it because I love you.
Yes, sir.
Have I got a witness, anybody?
All right,
yes,
now.
See, one of our problems is we've been pity-patting and playing around with the truth. Jesus said, if you know the truth, it'll make you free.
Come on now.
Now, if I'm out of control, I'm out of control and I can't get it right, and you know how to get me right, go do take care of your business, handle your business, man, and we'll talk about it on another side. Why are we waiting around waiting on the government and everybody else to figure out how to solve your problem when you know what the problem is? Those your children. Your nappy, my nappy
right.
head children in the public
right.
school system.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me calm down, Don. I'm trying to control myself.
No, don't calm down. What? Get him.
No, but again, the most important thing is we have to believe that we have it within ourselves to fix our problem.
Yes.
Somehow,
yes.
we've hung up our brains at the door of opportunity, waiting on
Jesus.
Something or somebody else. Now, ain't nothing wrong with God. Ain't nothing wrong with God. The problem is us. Ain't nothing wrong with Elohim. Some people call him Allah. Ain't nothing wrong with Yehovah Elohim. The problem is us. And the problem is that what he has given us, we're not using.
Yes.
That's the problem started with you now. Now, if it's going to be done, it's going to be through you. Somebody said earlier that black men, I think that was Don, are out of pocket. Don, you stepped on my toes, and I'm hollering, ouch, but guess what? You're right.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. Confession is good for the soul, Don. Now, that I said you're right, Don, I got to let me come down off that cross. You got me on Calvary. Now let me come down, okay? The catch is, Don, you said this beautifully. One of the major problems with being able to move forward with reaching our children, there are good men who want to do for young men in the streets. But you know what they're afraid of, Nicole? They're afraid that if I go in and approach that young fella and he get the redden off at the mouth and I give him a hot one, I'm going to have to deal with the criminal justice system, his mom and his cousin and everybody else. It ain't worth it to me. And part of that problem is there's no respect for masculine authority. Can I talk to somebody?
Yeah.
Part of it is because mama, sister, grandmama has said, you ain't got to listen to nobody but me.
Mm-hmm.
And she can't even control
me. Mm-hmm.
We've got to get past that. That's even biblical, Pastor. That's in the Word.
It is.
First institution and the first social group that was created by the Creator was the family. And it required that a male and a female come together to make one man. Then it told them to be fruitful and multiply. Can I get a witness somebody?
That's what it said.
That's the order. But he ain't happy. That's my brother. I ain't going to leave him. I'm like y'all. I'm not going to leave you out there on the battlefield stranded. If I got to drag you by your toenail, you coming with me.
Yeah,
it's a tough one. It is a tough one.
By any means necessary.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you have to stay the course, you know. You're out there, and you know, in the field, you know, and that's what the Word says, is that, you know, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So it's not
that's right.
But a few going to do anything. So I don't expect all of them to get out there, because I found out that, you know, everybody don't have compassion. found out that, you know. And it's understandable.
You know, Pastor 0230 said something that was powerful.
Uh-huh.
Everybody don't want to be saved.
That's
and
true.
And the reality is, in all you're doing, see, Du Bois left America mad because black folk wouldn't do right. He's doing everything he can to save him, but he wouldn't. But guess what? He realized at some point, I got to move on. Everybody don't want to be
right.
Saved.
That's right.
Everybody
yeah.
don't want to. So you have to take 0-30, the framework that Christ said, whosoever will,
let
them come. Is that right, 0-30?
Yes, sir. Mm. Follow me this way.
Mm-hmm.
Come
mm-hmm.
go this way, huh? So,
and Pastor, let me ask you this. Would you know who's willing to come, or you know who's trying to play around too? If you
that's
first
it.
Of all, you know we all done been there and done that. So we know some jive people when they come. So you know, ain't no sense of 1 foot in and 1 foot out. Ain't that what he asked us? He asked us, do you want 1 foot in and 1 foot out, or you gonna be this way, or you gonna have it right, do it right?
Right.
Ain't no strategy.
Nicole, you asked a great question. Now, I'm going to just speak from my experiences, and I was a supervisor in youth detention facility for a period of time. And what I discovered is those that were most serious, they're going to, when they get through putting their front on in front of everybody else, they're going to be like Nicodemus, and they're going to run to you to find out what else can I do. I don't want to be on Front Street, you understand what I'm saying? But for real, on the low, what can I do? You understand what I mean? And what that said to me is, Nicole, it's not about going and putting everybody on blast. You ain't got to tell everybody what you're doing for folks. Just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Be real about
that's
it, right?
Right.
And you don't have
that's
to, everybody don't have to know you're doing it. That's when people
that's
run
right.
and hide because they trying to protect their little, their little pride. And I get that.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. I used to tell young cats, look here, man, you in a jam right now. I'm going to give you a second to go off for a second and go find yourself so you don't have to get embarrassed any more than what you are. You see what I mean?
That's right.
And that's the approach we got to come with our people. Listen, you wrong. You know you wrong. I know you know.
Mm-hmm.
And heaven can see your behind is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't about dogging you out now. But we're going to have to do something to get this thing right. Let's go take care of it. It's called coming to Jesus. We got to have a come to Jesus meeting.
There
ain't nothing wrong with that. Is
good. That's good. Because we all need to come to Jesus. Especially, ain't no sense of running. Ain't no sense of running. Because it seems like if you keep running, it ain't going to do nothing but get harder and harder and harder until you come.
Nicole, you know what David said? David said, if I cover my head, my feet going to show. If I cover my feet, my head going to show. Nowhere. There's nowhere you can run or hide. You might
that's
as well
right.
go and come straight in at the door.
All
you know
right
what
now.
Pastor Waller holds our clock, and he playing around with the clock. We only got 11 minutes to go.
Yeah, I knew it. I knew it wouldn't be long. I said, wait a minute. It's about to pass. Yes.
Listen, I thank you guys. This has been a very powerful conversation. Let me just say that you will be able to hear some of our we've been blessed to have 99 episodes, including tonight's, so far since we started here. And you'll be able to hear these conversations, portions of them, on a CD that will be on our webpage at www.bfcinstitute. Go to the back store, click on contact link, and then you'll see the back store. And there you can get it, make your contribution. We'll get the gift out to you, a thank you for your contribution. Again, this is a nonprofit organization. We're grateful for each and every one of you and your participation. Don, I'm going to have to come see you in Richmond.
Come on, Pastor. Come on, bring my sister with you now. Don't you leave my sister.
Sound like a winner. I got my traveling buddy, Pastor Waller. We had to get his bags together so he can come go with us. But, yeah, we're doing everything we can to try to set up a venue in those. Now we have 13 cities that we've targeted. And each of those cities have similar socioeconomic issues. So somebody was going to say something. Who was that you, 0230?
Well, actually, how often do you guys get on the air?
Okay, great question. Tuesday and Thursday night, 7 o'clock p.m., is when this Talk Straight airs. Unless there's something going on, sometimes when we were out traveling, we may air a previously recorded show, but we try to do it every Tuesday and Thursday night, 7 o'clock, Central Standard Time, that is.
Okay.
I'd love to get with you, and if you want to do a show for your venue and invite other people to participate in your area, we'll be happy to do that. And that kind of helps us to lay the groundwork for being able to come and share our seminar and lecture series. So that's an option as well. Okay. With that, man, passes 9 minutes, man. My goodness. My goodness.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Pastor. You were going to say something?
No. Go ahead. I just things rolling. You got the time frame is winding down, drawing close, you know.
Okay.
So just go right ahead.
The hour's at hand.
Definitely.
Nicole, how often
yes,
are you going to let somebody use you? Hold on, Nicole. Hold it before you answer that question. Hold on. Don't you stop and talk to nobody. We got to get in the car and go. I said, what's wrong? People are always trying to use you. If it feels as good, getting used, Nicole. You just keep on using me till you use me. What about it?
How about it?
I'm going to tell you something, Pastor. I'm going to let them keep on using me until they assassinate my character. Once they assassinate my character, okay, I'm on to the next one.
Well, I told the Lord, you can use me, Lord, until you use me up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What about it, Don?
Definitely for the Lord, you can use me until you use me up. But for everybody else, I done pulled the rug from under their feet. You done walked all over me, but I ain't going to let you wipe your feet on me no more now. I done pulled the rug from most of them. So. Yes.
All right, we're winding down. I want to thank again 615-420-5157 for sitting in with us. And thank you, 0230. A final comment in the last 6 minutes we got here before we get out of here.
I just want to say thank you very much for the invite, Nicole. I really appreciate it. Enjoyed this session immensely. And be back again. Learned a lot.
Okay, great. If you want to go to our webpage, there's an email and a phone number. Feel free to contact us. If there's a subject matter that you want to talk about, we'll be happy to spotlight that and put that in our rotation. So, again, thank you. 5157, before we leave, want to get in where you fit in before we leave here. We got about 5 minutes. We're going to give Pastor Walla a final comment before we leave. Anyone, let's see, did we get everybody? Don, you got a chance to say something, didn't you?
I just want to thank everybody for having me. Sister Nicole, thank you for inviting me here, Pastor Waller. Thank you for having me. Thank you. Thank you all. I appreciate the knowledge, the newfound knowledge I got, a new place I can come to and, you know, get a word and, you know, give a word. I appreciate y'all. Y'all welcome to Richmond at any time, and we gonna keep things moving.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I feel like I grew about 3 inches tonight, Don. Thank you so much. Nicole, right quickly before we turn to Pastor Wallace.
I just want everybody to be mindful of, first of all, December, but just remember what it's really truly about. It's not about the presence, the going us out here spending a lot of money or anything like this. It's about the birth of Jesus. So, with that being said, everybody have a blessed day.
All right, all right. All right, Pastor Waller, you got the floor there, sir, before we cut out of here.
Amen. I want to thank everyone that chimed in. I know the Word of God says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together in the manner of some. Those that did get a chance, we just thank God for them being able to hear. You know, I always said, Pastor Hockery, I appreciate what you have done and what you continue to do. And thank God for all of, again, the word said, where there's two or three gathered together in his name, touching and agreeing that he would be in the midst of us. So now, without him in the midst, we're just talking loud and saying nothing. But since I know he's in the midst,
we want to say thank you,
let him know how much we appreciate him allowing us to share one with another the encouraging words that would cause someone to come running, asking what must they do to be part of what he has going on. Glory to God.
Amen. All right. Well, thank you all. Let me just reiterate, www.bfcinstitute.com. Please make your contribution. You can set it up to be a four-part contribution if you want to. May want to give $10 a day, $10 next month, but you can do that when you click on the donation tab. It'll walk you through that as well. This is Giving Tuesday. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, with BFC Institute. That's Building Families and Communities Institute. And we're seeking to go, God be our help, we're going to get around to our targeted cities and expand ourselves in the next year. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. That's what we've been talking about tonight. Be mindful that you can go back and hear the show. It will be recorded, and you can click on your link there at the Blog Talk platform and hear the recorded show as well as other shows that we've done. As I mentioned earlier, we've been blessed to, I think this is our 99th episode tonight, so we're grateful for each and every one of you. We'll be back Thursday night. We'll be back Thursday night for another episode, and we're going to leave with this commercial break, and thank you all again. This has been Talk Straight. Pastor Waller, Nicole,
yes, sir.
Don, my brother from 0230, as well as 5157. Thank you all, and we will see you on Thursday night, Central Standard Time, for another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery, signing off with this message.
Hello, listening audience.
Bless
you. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615 248-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.